Hello, and welcome to SA Lights, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Bradford Lundeen. During the next half hour, you'll hear articles from SA Lights, The Light From Within. The Express News honors SA Lights, members of our community who serve others through their acts, ideas, and inspirational example. Today's profile, public health is always on her mind. We just have to keep moving forward, longtime nurse educator says. And this was written by staff writer Alina Burress. An image from decades ago of a teenage mother and her sick newborn is imprinted on Adela Cantu's mind. It was the 1980s, and Cantu was in her early 20s, fresh out of nursing school and working as a public health nurse at the public department, at the health department in Waco, nearly 200 miles from her hometown of San Antonio. She and the rest of the public health team routinely received referrals from the city from the two city hospitals regarding new mothers who could not afford postnatal care. They would do home visits to ensure each child received immunizations and the like. In one case, the baby named Jonathan did not look right. His coloring seemed off, and he was having trouble feeding. For months, Cantu visited the mother and the baby, and on one visit brought a pediatrician to examine Jonathan for free. But the baby died, and the grief-stricken mother stayed in touch with Cantu. When her family said she was visiting the grave too frequently for a baby who died less than 1 year old, Cantu told her that it was not only okay to grieve as she did, but that it was important. Cantu said, quote, "That was really the moment, my springboard, to really understand that I have the potential to really have an impact. It was such a tragic event for everyone, but it also built up some confidence in myself that I could do this," unquote. Cantu has devoted her life to public health. In San Antonio, she gets out in the community, knocking on doors, passing out flyers, and attending public events. Rather than stay stationed at a hospital or clinic, Cantu likes to work with people, where they live, to promote health education, discuss options, and make a difference where it matters most. Now 67 years old, Cantu is not slowed. She has been a UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing for more than 20 years, researching and teaching public health, nursing and the social determinants of health, particularly the impact of environmental health on communities. She is a member of the Alliance of Nurses for Health Environments and vice chair for both CPS Energy's Rate Advisory Committee and the City of San Antonio's Climate Equity Advisory Committee. Cantu recently conducted a simulation for her summers at nursing students designed to show them what it's like to live below the poverty line in the United States. Such exercises, she believes, can improve the future. There is a movement for public health out here. We just have to keep moving it forward, unquote, she said. When Cantu was in high school, a nurse visited for career day and spoke about her job. In awe, Cantu ran home and told her mother that this was what she wanted to do. Well before that day, Cantu was a helper. She was a natural mediator at the middle child of seven. Her father owned and worked at a garage with his brother, and her mother stayed at home to mind the family. They were, quote, stable and very protected, and I think I wanted to help people realize the same stability and health, unquote, she said. When the nurse came to her school, it all felt natural. Cantu grew up in a primarily Latino communities of the west and northwest sides of San Antonio. Her mother was from Stockdale, and her father was a San Antonio native, the oldest of seven siblings. His own father had been physically abusive, and eventually in the fourth grade he told him to leave and go back to Mexico. Cantu's father then dropped out of school and he and his brothers supported the family. Eventually, he served in World War II before returning to San Antonio to start the auto shop. She said, quote, "As I get older, these stories, this history really adds to my understanding of the people that I work with. There are so many kids out there who are lacking support and stability within their families to grow," unquote. Cantu attended nursing school and earned a bachelor's degree at Incarnate Word College, now the University of Incarnate Word. But when she got her first job at Santa Rosa Hospital downtown, she hated it. She never got to know her patients. There was so much paperwork, and she was immediately overwhelmed. She quit after 9 months, something Cantu likes to tell her students now. She could not do it anymore. She needed to find something new. Cantu took a seasonal job at a summer camp in Pennsylvania instead. Her first time outside of Texas and away from her family, her Catholic Hispanic community. The camp was completely different from home, entirely white and primarily Jewish. But she liked the changes and the newness. And when she returned to San Antonio, she knew she could not go back to Santa Rosa, to the paperwork and the fleeting conversations. So she took the public health job in Waco and left San Antonio again for the experience she was to draw there. There she experienced community engagement, public education, and depth. She had a boss with a master's degree in nursing, a woman Cantu admired for her calmness, resilience, and ability to never get flustered no matter what her patient was going through. With that in mind, Cantu left again after a year and went to Dallas to get a master's in community public health at Texas Women's University. She stayed in Dallas for nearly a decade, until her early 30s, working at the public health department at the university and growing as a provider. Cantu eventually returned to San Antonio. Though she loved Dallas, she missed her big family immensely and yearned for San Antonio's small-town vibe. It was also a community she cared for deeply and wanted to help. Over a decade, throughout the 1990s, Cantu worked at the university health system. She helped residents sign up for the affordable health care plans, supervised the walk-in clinic, and ultimately became director of patient satisfaction. When she left university health, she felt she had grown immensely. She knew public health was a constantly adapting field and one to learn more from experience. She watched residents struggle to afford health care and wait long hours for appointments. She built bonds and trust with people who distrusted hospitals, and she listened to their daily public health concerns. Cantu said, quote, "It wasn't just managing the programs and the clinics, but it was after the fact also. When the patient was discharged, to help them understand what they needed to do beyond the health system," unquote. For Cantu, that's always been the case. It was not just health care, it was community. For the past 20 years, Cantu has been at the UT Health San Antonio. She received her doctorate in 2006 and continued to teach and conduct research at the university level. Over time, her role in the community grew. Since 2003, Cantu has joined 13 community groups, mentored students outside the classroom, sat on numerous boards, and been a member of 5 nursing associations. And for the past decade or so, Cantu has been at the forefront of the environmental justice and health movement in San Antonio. As a member of the Alliance for Nurses for Health Environments, she strives to teach future nurses about environmental health issues such as climate change, pollution, and industry. Throughout her work in the 1980s, 1990s, and the 2000s, environmental health issues were a constant in Cantu's field. In particular, asthma, lung issues, and an increase in allergies among vulnerable communities arose repeatedly. Whether it was from industry or smog from ozone pollution, Cantu saw how the environment impacted the health in certain neighborhoods and how those communities had less access to health care and more stresses of everyday life. Cantu said, quote, "As a nurse, my job is to note the problem and then see what are the causes and how to resolve them," unquote. She sees cancer also. She was seeing cancer also. Sometimes entire families or several neighbors would get the same cancer. In one family, the father got colon cancer and died, and then the mother got it. She said, quote, "You start seeing things in the community that seemingly don't have any explanation, these random things, and suddenly you start looking really at the environment, and then you start making connections," unquote. As vice chair for the city's Climate Equity Committee and the CPS's Rate Advisory Committee, these are examples she often thinks about and raises. She has presented to her colleagues on the committee how a coal plant can affect nearby health and populations. Perhaps it is not a direct link. Perhaps it's cumulative with other social determinants, such as income or health care. But breathing in coal dust certainly does not help, she said. Getting tougher environmental regulations for CPS Energy's coal-fired JK Spruce plant is not Cantu's only public health goal, but it is a big one. In the past, Cantu said, she got frustrated with the pace of public health, but now she sees that it does not help. Instead, it is all about cooperating and listening to other opinions and maybe finding a middle ground. Since the COVID-19 pandemic, Cantu said public health is on people's minds more than ever, and there's more work to be done. She is hopeful. Her students, whom she is teaching population health, the social determinants of health and environmental consequences, will be the world's new health leaders, perhaps sitting on their own committees and pushing for change in their own neighborhoods. Cantu was the first to get the COVID-19 vaccine in San Antonio. Members of media crowded her as she received the dose in December of 2020. And while the occasions was momentous, it was after the media left that it mattered. She said, quote, "Community members came up to me later, told me they were going to get the shot because I did, because they already knew me from being out in their neighborhood, talking with them, building a relationship," unquote. And that, Cantu said, is public health. On to the next profile. Bringing a love of riding to other vets. Man rediscovered his love for sport and has grown a local group into a national nonprofit. And this was written by staff writer Brandon Lingle. Bringing a Love of Riding to Other Vets by Brandon Lingle. Sometimes the world goes quiet when you are riding a bike on a rough trail. Life's noise and stress fade against the grind of fat tires on dirt. The breeze and maybe a bird song, a cicada's hum. Steel, pedal, breathe, imagine what's behind the next turn or hill, and then react. There's no time to worry about strife, work, bills, or politics while honing in on balance, speed, and momentum. In these moments, everything flows, and the forward motion takes us further from the past. Sometimes gravity speeds up the pace. A type of peace grows when focused on the trail. Critics may discount the tranquility of mountain biking, but people find peace in all sorts of places. Sometimes the things that give us comfort as children return later in life. Jonathan Hagerman, 34 years old, has lived that phenomenon. He loved bikes as a kid, fell away from the sport during the military stint, and has since rediscovered the peace of shredding trails on two wheels. Since 2018, the married father of four has shared his love for the sport with other veterans and supporters through the nonprofit he started called the Dirt Therapy Project, or TDTP. Long before chasing this idea of a vet-oriented mountain bike group, long before growing it from a band of local riders to a national organization that has helped more than 2,500 people, Hagerman was a boy growing up in Murray, Utah, where the Wasatch Range looms and riding was a way of life. His earliest bike memories came during childhood visits with family in Citrus Heights, California, with its big BMX scene. He tried the sport, was no good at it. In sixth grade, he bought his first mountain bike, a Schwinn Mesa GSX. Later, he saved his paper route money and, quote, bought a pretty nice bike for the Damon Time, unquote, a full suspension Kona Stinky. He and his friends rode through Salt Lake City area. I jump Mill, I Street jumps, Mill Creek Canyon, Deer Valley. A few times his dad brought them to the mountain biking Mecca of Moab. After two years after high school, Hagerman enlisted in the Marine Corps. He was a heating, ventilation, and air conditioning tech stationed at Marine Corps Air Station Miramar in Southern California, another mountain biking hotspot. But life interfered. He said, quote, I had access to the trails, but did not have the money or time to get there as a young enlisted guy. I ended up selling my bike when my truck needed new tires. Priorities, unquote. In 2010, Hagerman deployed to Afghanistan, where he spent a year at the forward operating base Nole in Sangin Province, supporting the Dark Horse Marines of 3rd Battalion, 5th Regiment. It was a rough region during the rough period of the war. By the end of their tour in April of 2011, the three-fifths Marines suffered the highest casualty rate of any Marine unit during the past 10 years of war, unquote, according to the NPR. 25 Marines were from a unit were killed, and many more wounded in the four-month period. Hagerman said it was pretty rowdy, unquote. He separated from the Marine Corps in May of 2013 to pursue his education. Hagerman and his family landed in San Antonio with a wife and two small children at the time, and a master's degree in business administration at the University of Texas at San Antonio in progress. Stress was constant. In 2018, he bought a 15-year-old bike from Craigslist. He said, something I could afford, unquote. He returned to riding. It began with a couple of days after work. Then he rode every weekend. Soon, Saturdays joined the rotation. Then he rode every weekday. Soon, Saturdays joined the rotation. He said, quote, I absolutely fell right back in love with the sport, and I also realized that as much as I like being on a bike and being outside, how much it was helping me in other aspects of my life. It kind of became the pressure release valve I needed. You know, it was a time I could just be alone, be outside, and be in nature, get some fresh air. I didn't need to do anything, unquote. Trails demand focus. The curves, rocks, jumps, and drops pulled his attention from stress and negativity. Hagerman said, quote, I did not have any time to think about anything else in life that could have been bothering me. I could not think about deployment stressors. I could not think about work stressors. I could not think about family stressors. I had to focus on making sure I did not crash my bike, unquote. Riding was therapy. He felt the sport helping him, and he saw how it helped others. So he started thinking about how to make it more accessible to vets. Before long, he had two bikes and began inviting friends to ride with him. 52-year-old Bill Kolmich retired from the Marines in 2016 and worked in the cubicle across from Hagerman at their day jobs as risk management at USAA. Soon, they were running buddies, and not long after that, they started hitting the trail. They'd ride the Leon Creek Greenway for a couple of hours before work. Kolmich was a sounding board for Hagerman as he ran through ideas about how to reach more vets through biking, and the dirt therapy project gaining momentum. Kolmich said, quote, I learned to listen more and speak less, to draw out some of the ideas. The only thing I did to help was be a champion on his corner and help them think through approaches and his ideas, unquote. Hagerman called his evolution of mountain biking enthusiast to evangelist a natural progression. The riding and camaraderie made him feel good. He saw the benefits in himself and others, so he wanted to share the sport. Riding, he said, quote, is just awesome, unquote, because it combines the benefits of being outdoors, exercise, getting vitamin D, fresh air, sunlight, and camaraderie. In those early days, Komich served as the test subject, helping Hagerman develop his pitch and what rides should look like for enthusiasts of all different experience levels. Hagerman's goal was to create a safe, judgment-free place where people could find common ground while having fun. He said, quote, when you spend time in the service and you've seen the things that we've seen or you've deployed as many times as we've deployed and been away from your family, it kind of changes you a little. And there's nobody that understands that except for veterans, unquote. The Dirt Therapy Project. Camaraderie is as important as the riding. Haberman said, quote, I kind of get the feeling that I've never really fit back in the way I did prior to my military service. So being able to hang out with other vets creates this environment where you can just be totally comfortable. You can let your walls down. You can laugh. You can joke. You can tell stories. Be genuine, which I think is refreshing for a lot of people that come out on these rides, unquote. Hagerman incorporated TDTP, and the group grew fast. Then came sponsors, monthly rides, a 12-member enduro racing team, an adaptive program, and annual trips to mountain biking destinations such as Angel Fire, New Mexico, and Beltonville, Arkansas. The program brings over 30 years of riding mountain bikes and an obsession with the dirt to our veterans. We like to think of ourselves as uncertified dirt therapists, unquote, explains its website. In 2020, the Dirt Therapy Project, TDTP, went national, opening chapters in North Carolina and Colorado. Since then, chapters have been launched in Utah, Arkansas, Arizona, California, and the Pacific Northwest. He said, quote, it went from a group ride with two or three people in 2018 and in 2022 on our group rides in San Antonio, which is kind of our flagship chapter. We are probably averaging 50 people a ride. In any given month, there is a couple of hundred veterans out riding with the Dirt Therapy Project, unquote. While the Dirt Therapy Project is designed around the military community, it is not exclusive. He said, quote, anyone with a bike or a passion for riding and supporting veterans and active duty is welcome. It is rather informal. You do not have to sign up to be a member. There are no membership dues. Eyes just come hang out and ride with us. TDTP loans bikes and gear, and offers tips and coaching to vets interested in learning about the sport. On May 28th, the Dirt Therapy Project. On May 28th, more than 70 the Dirt Therapy Project riders converged at Seguin Mountain Bike Skills Park for the group's annual Memorial Day ride. Chris Wood, age 60, the park's creator and director, said it was the second TDTP event at the venue. Between checking out the park's jumps, cross-country and flow trails, and skills features, people visited with others, tinkered on bikes, ate hot dogs, and drank Liquid Death, canned water with skull and heavy metal branding. Philip Paschal, 43 years old, an Army vet from Harkin Heights, said he enjoyed the, quote, somber silence, unquote, he experiences on the trail. He said, quote, that's where I keep my solitude and my sanity. It's peaceful, so that's where I kind of reflect, unquote. Army vets Jerry Little and Cornell Dixon did not know each other in the service, but on the last Beltonville trip, they realized they both had a mutual buddy who died in combat. Little said, quote, I can be here and tell stories like this and not feel bad, unquote. Dixon, a TDTP Enduro team member, said the program has given him something to be proud of and invested in. For several years before finding the group, he had lost those feelings. He said, quote, "I can come to any event, and when I see this jersey, it's instant. We all have the same mind frame. We know what we're here for, and we know what the mission is. We are here to have fun," unquote. After the break, the riders hopped back on their bikes and pedaled onward under the light of the mid-afternoon sun. You have been listening to SA Lights on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on a specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You can also listen to at your convenience on our broad podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 this evening. This is SA Lights, the light from a win, the light from within. The Express News honors SA Lights, members of our community who serve others through their acts, ideas, and inspirational example. This is Bradford Lundeen saying goodbye from Owl Radio.